Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Yomim by Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Yadalad. The first parak, Shivas Yamim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Kol Shivas Yamim, Hu Zorek as a Dam, Hu Makdir as Katoras, Hu Meitiv as a Neros, Hu Makriv as a Rosh as a Regal. All 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is sequestered, he throws the blood, burns the Katoras, prepares the lamps, and offers the head and hind leg of the Tambid. This was done to make the Kohen Gadol proficient in the various aspects of the Avodah, which were not typically assigned to him. Rav Chisda says that Rabbi Akiva cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah, since he said, Tahor shenafalav hazah timatua, a Tahor person, upon whom fell a sprinkling of water containing the Parduma ashes, thereby becomes Tameh. Since we know that hazah is done on the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, how would he be able to perform the Avodah during this time? The Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. The Pasuk could have said, Vehiza hatahor alav, the Tahor person shall sprinkle the purification waters upon him, and it would be obvious that the person who is being sprinkled upon is Tameh. Why did the Pasuk add the words al ha-tameh, upon the tameh? We can infer from here, al ha-tameh tahor, va ha-tahor tameh. The tameh person becomes tahor, and the tahor person becomes tameh. The Rabban say it's a kal vachomer. If the tameh person becomes tahor, doesn't it follow that the tahor person should remain tahor? Pointing to the Gemara questions how Rabbi Akiva would respond to the Rabban's kal vachomer, and answers that he would respond that with respect to this kal vachomer, Shlomo Melch stated, Amarti echkama vihi rochoka mimeni. I said I'd become wise, but alas, it's still beyond me. We see that even though the kal vachomer dictates that the Tahor person should remain Tahor, Shlomo Melch himself acknowledged the phenomena that he in fact becomes Tameh. According to the Rabbanan, what Shlomo Melch found beyond comprehension was the fact that the one who sprinkles the waters and the one upon whom the waters are sprinkled are both Tahor, whereas the one who touches the waters for purposes other than sprinkling becomes Tameh. When the Rabbanan are challenged the fact that the Pasuk states that the Mazeh, the one who sprinkles shall immerse his garments, clearly indicating that he's Tameh, they answer the word Mazeh is referring to the one who carries the water for reasons other than sprinkling. The reason that he's referred to as the Mazeh is to teach that he only becomes Tameh if he's carrying the minimum shear for Hazah. And point number three, the Mishnah stated, Umaktir Zakatoris Umeitiv Zaneros, that the Kohen Gadol burned the Katoris and prepared the lamps during his 7 days of being sequestered, which implies that the Katoris was burned first. This contradicts the Mishnah in Tami that details the daily lottery which determined which Kohanim were privileged to perform each part of the Avodah. It lists the Kohen who was Zocha to clear the ash from the Mizbech HaZahav, the one who was Zocha to prepare the menorah, and the Kohen who was Zocha to burn the Katoris. Here, the Mishnah implies that the Katoris is burned after the preparation of the lamps. So Rabbi Yochanan answered that the Tana of the Mishnah here is Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpah, whereas the Mishnah in Tamid reflected the opposing view of the Chachamim. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Kol Shivas HaYamim Hu Zorek as Adam Makdir as Katoris Meitiv as Aneros U'Makriv as Arosh v'as Aregel. All 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is sequestered, he throws the blood, burns the Katoris, prepares the lamps, and offers the head and hind leg of the Tamid. Now, this was done to make the Kohen Gadol proficient in the various aspects of the Avodah, which were not typically assigned to him. So Rav Chisda says Rabbi Akiva cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah, since he said, Tahor shenafalav hazah timatu, a Tahor person, upon whom fell a sprinkling of water containing the Parduma ashes, thereby becomes Tameh. Since we know that hazah is done on the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, how would he be able to perform the Avodah during this time? The Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. The Pasuk could have stated, Behiza hatahor alav, the Tahor person shall sprinkle the purification waters upon him. And it would be obvious that the person who is being sprinkled upon is Tameh. Why did the Pasuk add the words al ha-tameh upon the Tameh? We can infer from here, al ha-tameh tahor v'ha-tahor tameh. The Tameh person becomes Tahor, and the Tahor person becomes Tameh. The Rabban say it's a kal vachomer. If the Tameh person becomes Tahor, doesn't it follow that the Tahor person should remain Tahor? Pointing to the Gemara questions how Rabbi Akiva would respond to the Rabban's kal vachomer, and answers that he'd respond that with respect to this kal vachomer, Shlomo Melch stated, Amarti echkama v'hi rechoka mimeni. I said I'd become wise, but alas, it's still beyond me. We see that even though the kal vachomer dictates that the Tahor person should remain Tahor, Shlomo Melch himself acknowledged the phenomena that he in fact becomes Tameh. According to the Rabbanan, what Shlomo Melch found beyond comprehension was the fact that the one who sprinkles the waters and the one upon whom the waters are sprinkled are both Tahor, whereas the one who touches the waters for purposes other than sprinkling becomes Tameh. When the Rabbanan are challenged with the fact that the Pasuk states the Mazeh, the one who sprinkles shall immerse his garments, clearly indicating that he's Tameh, they answer that the word Mazeh is referring to the one who carries the water for reasons other than sprinkling. The reason that he's referred to as the Mazeh is to teach that he only becomes Tameh if he's carrying the minimum shear for Hazah. And point number three, the Mishnah stated, Makir as a Ketores and Metiv as a Neros, that the Kohen Gadol burned the Ketores and prepared the lamps during the 7 days of being sequestered, which implies that the Ketores was burned first. This contradicts a Mishnah in Tami that details the daily lottery, which determined which Kohanim were privileged to perform each part of the Avodah. It lists the Kohen who was Zocha to clear the ash from the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Kohen who was Zocha to prepare the menorah, and the Kohen who was Zocha to burn the Ketores. So here the Mishnah implies that the Ketores is burned after the preparation of the lamps. So Rabbi Yochanan answered the Tana of the Mishnah here is Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, whereas the Mishnah in Tamin reflected the opposing view of the Chachamim. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Yadalad, and our standard Simmon is a Yad, a hand. So here goes. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled that tower person, making him Tameh, that he carried the Mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh, thereby losing his opportunity to burn the Ketores and prepare the menorah. Once again in slow motion. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands, that must be one Daf Yadalad. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled that tower person, making him Tameh. Which reminds the next Mishnah taught that all 7 days of the Kohen Gadol is sequestered, he does the Avodah in order to make him proficient in the various aspects of the Avodah which were typically not assigned to him. Rav Chisa says Rav Kiva cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah, since he said, Tahor shenapu lav hazah timatu, a tower person upon whom fell a sprinkling of water containing the parduma ashes, thereby becomes Tameh. Since we know that Hazah is done in the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, how would he be able to perform the Avodah during this time? The Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. The pasuk could have stated, "Vihiza hatahor alav," the tower person shall sprinkle the purification waters upon him, and it'd be obvious that the person is tameh. Why did the pasuk add the words al hatameh upon the tameh? We can infer from here, al hatameh tower, va hatahor tameh. The tower person becomes tower, and the tower person becomes tameh. The Rabban say it's a kal vachomer. If the tameh person becomes tower, doesn't it follow the tower person should remain tahor? So the Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled the tower person, making him Tameh, that he carried the Mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh. Which reminds the Gemara questions how Rabbi Akiva would respond to the Rabban's Kal Vachomer, and answers that he'd respond that with respect to the Kal Vachomer, that Shlomo Melk stated, Amarti Echama V'hi Rechoka Mimeni. I said I'd become wise, but alas, it's still beyond me. We see that even though the Kal Vachomer dictates that the tower person should remain tower, Shlomo Melch himself acknowledged the phenomena that he, in fact, becomes Tameh. According to the Rabban, what Shlomo Melch found beyond comprehension was the fact that the one who sprinkles the waters and the one upon whom the waters are sprinkled are both tahor, whereas the one who touches the waters for purposes other than sprinkling becomes Tameh. When the Rabban challenged the fact that the Pasuk states that the Mazah, the one who sprinkles Shalmer's garments, clearly indicating that he is Tameh, they answered that the word Mazah is referring to the one who carries the water for reasons other than sprinkling. The reason that he's referred to as the Mazah is to teach that he only becomes Tameh if he's carrying the minimum shear for Hazah. So the Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled that tower person, making him Tameh, that he carried the Mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh, thereby losing his opportunity to burn the Ketores and prepare the menorah. Which reminds the Mishnah here that states that the Kohen Gadol burned the Ketores and lit the lamps during his 7 days of being sequestered, which implies that the Ketores was burned first, goes according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, whereas the Mishnah Tamid that teaches the Ketores is burned after the preparation of the lamps reflects the opposing view of the Chachamim. So once again, the Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled that tower person, making him Tameh, that he carried the Mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh, thereby losing his opportunity to burn the Ketores and prepare the menorah. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Yud. So the Simmer Daf Yud is a Minyan of Yidden. So here goes. The Minyan of Yidden. That must be more in Daf Yud. The Minyan of Yidden that was played by noisy children running through, playing Persians versus Romans, which reminds us, Rabbi Shubin Levi said in the name of Rabbi, Asid the Romi Shetipo B'yad Pras, Rome is destined to fall into the hands of Persia, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Eli also said that Rome will fall into the hands of Persia, based on a Kal Vachomer. Rav said, Asid the Pras Shetipo B'yad Romi, Persia is destined to fall in the hands of Rome, when he was questioned whether it made sense that the builders, referring to Persia, should fall into the hands of the destroyers, referring to Rome. He answered, yes, Gezeres HaMelechi, such is the decree of the king. Others say, the Rav answered that Persia also destroyed many synagogues. So the Minyan of Yidden that was played by noisy children running through playing Persians versus Romans finally convinced the kids after 9 months to play Mashiach times, which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that Mashiach will not come until the wicked kingdom of Rome has overrun the entire world for 9 months, As it says in Michal, Chen Yidemad Eis Yoleda Yolada, V'yeser Echav Yeshuvun al B'nei Yisrael. Therefore, he will surrender them until the time that one gives birth. Then the rest of his brothers, referring to the Mashiach's brothers, will return with B'nei Yisrael. Rashi on the Pasuk explains that after 9 months, the rest of the Mashiach's brothers, referring to the rest of Shevet Yehuda, will join the other Shvatim and form a unified kingdom in Eretz Yisrael. So the minion of Yidden that was plagued by noisy children running through playing Persians versus Romans finally convinced the kids after 9 months to play Mashiach times inside a little chamber that wasn't a prison because it had a mezuzah affixed to the door. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa called Shakushay B'Mikdash, all the chambers in the base of Mikdash had no mezuzahs except for the Barhedron chamber, since it served as a dwelling for the Kohen Gadol the week before Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yudah said that there were several chambers that served as dwelling places, referring to the places where the Kohanim Levim, who guarded the base of Mikdash, would stay, yet they had no mezuzahs. Rather, it was a derabbanan requirement that the Lishkas Barhedron had a mezuzah. The Gemara on Amud Beis brings Rava's explanation that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Diras Bal Korcha Lo Shma Dira, an enforced residence, is not considered a residence. Therefore, the Lishkas Barhedron was not Chai Medaraisa to have a mezuzah. The Rabbanan enacted a Chiyah Mezuzah Shul Yomer Kohen Gadol Chavish B'Beis Asurin, in order that people should not say the Kohen Gadol is locked in jail. The absence of the mezuzah would draw attention to the forced nature of his stay. Daf Yudalv, so the Simmer Daf Yudalv is stars. So here goes. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars. Gold stars, that must mean we're on Daf Yudalv. In their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate. Which reminds the Rabban taught in a brisa, the pasuk says, "Ubisharecha," and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, plural. This teaches that whether they are gates of houses, gates of courtyards, gates of provinces, or gates of cities, they have the chovas mitzvah of mezuzah. Rashi explains that shari medinos, gates of provinces, require mezuzahs in a case where the province is surrounded by mountains and forests for many miles and people can only enter through gates. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars on every gate and made sure to include curved archways, which reminds us, it was taught to Bryce, in the case of a kippah, a curved archway, Rabbi Meir requires a mezuzah, and the chamim exempted from a mezuzah. Abai clarifies that Rabbi Meir and the chamim disagree in a case when the archway is 10 tefachim high, and the archway's legs have a height of 3 tefachim, before the opening between them narrows to less than that of 4 tefachim. But the archway is not 4 tefachim wide along the entire minimum height of 10 tefachim. V'yesh ba'lachok l'hashim l'arba'ah, however, the wall surrounding the archway is large enough to allow one to carve into it to complete the entranceway to the full 4 tefachim along the height of the 10 tefachim. Rabbi Meir holds, Chokikim l'hashlim, we view the entrance as if it's enlarged since it has potential to do so, but the Rabban hold, Ein Chokikim l'hashlim, we do not take the potential into account, but consider the archway as it presently stands. So in their attempt to break the world record for the largest number of mezuzahs in a single province, the inhabitants stuck gold stars over every gate and made sure to include curved archways, shuls, and women's houses on the right side as people enter. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, basic nesses, basic isha, basic shutfin, chayevitz, mezuzah. A shul, a house of women, and a house owned by partners require a mezuzah. One might have thought, beisecha, your house implies, and not her house, and not their houses, referring to a shul and house owned by partners. That's why we don't actually drive these conclusions, answer, because the next pasuk states, l'man yirbu yemechem yibeymenechem, in order to increase your days and the days of your sons. Hanu boy chai, v'hanu ubay chai. Do these people who own houses independently have a need for a long life, but not women and partners? Of course not. The Gemara then asks, then what's the need of the pasuk stating beisecha? And brings Rav, who answers, derech biascha, the word your house may be read your entry, indicating that the mezuzah should be affixed the way you enter. And when a person lifts his feet to enter a house, he lifts his right foot first. The Torah therefore teaches that the mezuzah should be affixed on the right side as a person enters. Daf Yud Beis, so the standard symbol Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of Mizbeach in their room, which reminds the Gemara brings about Chokas Tanaim whether houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei from Tumat Saras based on the condition that Tumat Saras occurs Be'eretz Achuzaschem, the land of your inheritance. The Tanakama rules that they cannot because he holds Yerushalayim on Nishalka L'Shvatim, Yerushalayim was not apportioned among the Shvatim and is therefore not considered an inheritance. Rabbi Yehuda rules that houses in Yerushalayim can become Tamei as he holds that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. A brisa is brought to support Rabbi Yehuda that states, Maya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, which parts of the Beis HaMikdash were in the portion of Shevet Yehuda, are Bais HaLoshakos HaAzaros, and which parts were in the portion of Binyamin, the Ulam, the Heichal, in the Beis Kodesh Kadoshim, and a strip of land which projected from the portion of Yehuda and entered in the portion of Binyamin, Uvaya Mizbeach Banu, and on it the Mizbeach was built. And Binyamin itself was pained by it each day because of his longing to absorb it into his territory. We see from here, though, that Yerushalayim was a portion to the Shvatim. The Gemara then brings a brisa that supports the Tanna Kamma. So the 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt, that it belonged to him, which reminds us. The Gemara says that while it's obvious that if a Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified the morning of Yom Kippur, before the Tam Yishol Shachar, the new Kohen Gadol is invested into his new position by bringing the Tam Yishol Shachar. But what is he invested into office with if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tami after the Tam Yishol Shachar? So Rav Ada Bar Abba said Ba'avne with his pure linen belt, which was different than a Kohen Hedyot's belt, which was made of shatnez. Abai said, before proceeding to the Yom Kippur service, he dons the eight begotten of the Kohen Gadol and turns part of the Tamid offering over on the fire of the Mizbeach with a fork to hasten its burning, and this act is considered an avoda. And Rapapa said his performance of the Yom Kippur service, even without any other act, invests him with his office, since only a Kohen Gadol can do the avoda on Yom Kippur. So the 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt that it belonged to him, that they didn't deserve it because their belts were made of shatnez. Which reminds us, when Ravin arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he said that everybody agrees that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur was made of pure linen, and the rest of the year his avnet was made of kalaim. They disagree regarding the avnet of a Kohen Hedyot, both on the other days of the year and on Yom Kippur. For Rebbe says it was made of kalaim, well, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says it was made of pure linen. Therefore, according to Rebbe, the four begadim that the Kohen Hedyot wore were essentially the same as those worn by the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, besides his four additional begadim. Daf Yud Gimel, so the standard sim for Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. When the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. When the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshetel in the wings, which reminds us that when Rebbe Yehuda stated in the opening mission the basin should prepare a second wife for the Kohen Gadol in event that the first one dies, the Chachamim respond, im ken, ein lo davar so, if so, there's no end to the matter, meaning that if we must be concerned of the first wife's sudden death, then we would have to prepare for the possibility that the second wife might suddenly die as well. So the Gemara questions why the Chachamim don't apply this objection to their own position that we need to prepare a second Kohen Gadol in the event that the first Kohen Gadol might become Tamei. They should need to prepare a substitute, for it's likely that he might become Tamei too. The Gemara answers Kohen Gadol Zaris who a Kohen Gadol is conscientious to remain Tahor, and therefore it's unlikely that a second Kohen Gadol will be needed. When the Gemara questions why then a substitute is required at all, if the Kohen is a Zaris, it answers Kevin de Avdin and Sara Koshechei de Mizdarif Tfei. Since we prepare a rival for him, we'll certainly be even more conscientious about not becoming Tamei and seeing his rival take over. So when the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshat on the wings, he decided to really impress the crowd with his pilpul on what a Kohen Gadol says to two wives prior to Yom Kippur, which reminds us. The Gemara questions Rebbe Yehuda's position that a second wife needs to be prepared for the Kohen Gadol in the event that the first one dies. Beso am rachmana v'hachla beso, the Torah said, and he shall atone for himself and for his household, referring to his wife, whereas this woman, who's not yet married to him, is not considered his household. The Gemara continues that if, in fact, he married her before Yom Kippur, there'd be another problem, that the word beso implies that he has another wife and not two. So after rejecting numerous solutions, the Gemara finally arrives at an effective solution. He says to wife number two, this is your get on condition that wife number one does not die. He says, wife number one, this is your get on condition that I enter a Beis Knesses on Yom Kippur. If neither wife dies, wife number two was divorced all along since wife number one did not die. And he remains married to wife number one since her get was canceled because he didn't walk into a shul. If wife number two dies, she was divorced all along since the condition of her get that wife number one did not die was fulfilled. And he remains married to wife number one since her get was canceled as he did not walk into a shul. If wife number one dies, then wife number two's get is canceled since the condition was not fulfilled. If wife number one dies in Yom Kippur, then the Kohen Gadol, seeing that she's about to die, steps into a shul and validates her get so that she was divorced all along and he was only married to wife number two. So when the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshetel in the wings, he decided to really impress the crowd with his pilpul on what a Kohen Gadol says to two wives prior to Yom Kippur and why he continues to serve and won't come to eat if one of them dies. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Kohen Gadol makriv onen ve'eino ocha, a Kohen Gadol brings karbanas while he's an onen, but he does not eat them. Rabbi Yehuda says, kol hayom, the entire day. After Rabbi's first interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda is rejected, he provides a second explanation. Lomar she'eino ovid kol hayom gezer shema yocha. Rabbi Yehuda meant to say that the Kohen Gadol may not serve the entire day of his aninas because of a gezera, lest he comes to eat of kadshim, which is forbidden. Rabbi clarifies that on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yehuda would permit the Kohen Gadol to serve in the event that his wife dies, as he will not come to eat when no one else is eating. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff when the rekiva holds the hazah on a tahor person makes him tame? That's on daf yadalad. Good. Number two, which daf we have three of my regarding how the substitute kohen gadol is invested into office if the kohen gadol becomes tame after bringing the tamid shel shachar? That's on daf yadbeis. Good. Number three, which daf we have between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim whether chokking hashlim when it comes to affixing a mezuzah and a kippah, a curved archway? That's on daf yadalad. Good. Number four, which of the one that having a second kohen gadol on the wings will make the kohen gadol even more of a zaris? That's on daf yud gimel. Good. Number five, which of the one that the Chachamim hold that Shlomo Melech was perplexed as to why the one who touches the mechatas for no reason becomes tame? That's on daf yadalad. Good. Number six, which of the one that one affixes a mezuzah on the right side since a person enters a house right foot first? That's on daf yadalad. Good. Number seven, which daf the Malkus regarding whether the avnet of a kohen hedyot was made of linen or shatnez? That's on daf yadbeis. Good. Number eight, which daf the one the Reuto holds that a kohen gadol onen does not do the avoda the entire day lest he comes to eat except in Yom Kippur when there's no concern of that? That's on daf yud gimel. Good. Number nine, which daf the one that the Mashiach comes after Rome overruns the entire world for 9 months? That's on daf yud. Good. And number 10, which of the one how a second wife is prepared for the kohen gadol according to Rabbi Yehuda? That's on daf yud gimel. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.